how much seva should one do? Should we devote our entire life, our entire wealth, our entire mind to only seva? Or is there a right proportion of how much we should do? The answer is given in terms of what our karmic obligations are. We are here in this world because of our karma. Every moment of our life, what passes as an event, is based on karma. Every moment of our life, something happens to us, is karma. Karma is a continuous process. If karma stops, we will be dead. Life in the physical body, in the physical form, is only governed by the law of karma. Therefore, what is karma? Karma is our own actions and intentions expressed in previous human lives, which has created our destiny. We have created karma not only by action, but by intention to act. When your mind intends to do something, even if it does not do it, karma is created. So you can see the power of your thought, power of your thinking, that you express your intentions all the time in your head, karma is being generated continuously. If you carry that whatever you are intending to do into action, physical action, it only adds to the karma and does not remove the karma. It adds to the karma, becomes a bigger karma. So the karma leads to a reaction of a payoff back in terms of reward and punishment. It's a basic system in which your actions are judged by you. At the end of your life, when people die, there's a flashback of their whole life that comes up right in front of them. When the flashback takes place, they say, oh, I did this, I did this, I forgot all about it, now I remember all of it. That flashback determines what you feel. You feel guilty, you feel happy, you feel that good thing is immediately developing into another life. Supposing you say, I am going to live a life in which new karma is the minimum. I'll only pay my old karma. This is very hard to do, but somebody takes a decision to live life without creating new karma. How can that be done? Not expressing any intention to act. Going with the flow, like they used to say. When I first came to the United States, I heard this phrase everywhere. Go with the flow. I said, these are very enlightened people. They know how to live without creating karma. And they are just paying off their old karma. They are going with the flow. This means whatever happens around you, go with it. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't make new decisions. Go with what is happening. The circumstances will create the whole life for you. It does for everybody. So we, supposing somebody says, I'll create no more karma, the karma can still be picked up from what you did before you decided. How much is that karma from where it can be picked up? Karma of millions of lives. It's all stored in your mind. And a new life can be made up merely from that, even if you pay off everything. Which is very rare for people to try to live exactly according to circumstances, do what is circumstances tell them, and not make their own decisions. Live what some people call living in the will of God. When somebody says, I want to live in the will of God, how do you live in the will of God? You do what circumstances tell you to do. Don't discuss, no, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, that changes. Somebody asked a nice mystic, how can we know if the will of the God is not being expressed through our mind? Is a mind independent from God? And mind is also created by God. So if we take decisions by mind, that is also God's will. This question was put to Rumi, Maulana Rum. He answered it briefly. He says, there is no difficulty knowing what is God's will. If he has put a spade in your hand, he has expressed his will, dig. If he has placed a pen in your hand, he has expressed his will, write. He has provided the circumstances around you throughout life to tell you what to do. That's God's will. Therefore, God himself has created the mind's will and the God's will, a spiritual will and a mental will, and installed both in our heads. We can choose one or the other. Most of us are living our life with mental will. Constantly have to make decisions. Constantly have to decide what I should do, not do. All those are mental decisions, and we don't go with spiritual will. The spiritual will can be exercised by us if we don't use the mind for that will. First thing is what is called go with the flow is a spiritual will. Secondly, if you are in control of your mind through meditation, then the intuitive knowledge should be your spiritual will. What you feel intuitively, do that. If you can't even discover what the intuition is, then check with your master. Master, what is your will? And carry it out. It's not your mental will. If you can't have access to the physical master, ask the master inside. Master, what's your will? I've got choices. What's your will? Master will express his will to make sure that the mind doesn't become the master and take his form and give you his directions, which is a mental will. Repeat the holy words, the words of Simran, which are a safeguard for such occasions. Repeat those words, then take the master's will. And you will be guided to develop your spiritual will. So that is why when karma is created, we create so many obligations to fulfill it. And there is no choice. Once a karma package is made, and a destiny for one life is created, it's already completely written up. Not part of it. Completely written up what will happen to you, what events will take place, when they will take place. So as life goes on and those events happen, you have to go through them. As I said yesterday, sometimes if they are too hard, the payback, master helps. But master also reminds us, it's not somebody else imposing this on you. It's your own actions, your own intentions of a past life. At that time, you forgot what happens later. No, something happens later. This is the law of karma. So that is why in the law of karma, we continuously have obligations created for our life. We have to feed ourselves, we have to feed our families, we have to take care of jobs, we have to take care of so many things. They are all obligations imposed on us by the set of karmas which we are paying off. When we talk of seva or meditation, we are talking of finding how much of the proportion of this time we can give. And it should be reasonable, so we also fulfill our karma. Active meditation, if you give 1/10 of your time, is considered to be appropriate. Active donation of wealth seva, if you give 10% of your net income, considered enough. 10% of meditation time in every 24 hours comes to 2.5 hours. Somebody had asked me, why is it, what is the significance of 2.5 hours? It's the tithe of meditation, the tithe of charity. You are giving it as a part of your spiritual discipline while fulfilling others. But is it enough to just give formal meditation 2.5 hours, which is 1/10 of total time, and 10% of our net income as charity? We are paying off two kinds of wealth, and 10% of the time which we can divide because of our work, which we can put up on a holiday, or we can put up on some time when we are free of doing voluntary work. 10% has been considered a reasonable number. But there's one little catch. If you want to give more, you can make your payment of obligations also part of meditation and seva. Supposing you have to do some work. If you say, I am working for myself, it is work. If you say, I am working for master, it becomes seva. Everyday work, including working on your jobs, doing anything. I am cooking food for master, he is giving it to my family. It's just a thought, it's just an awareness. If you can keep this awareness that everything is being done for master, you are doing 24-hour meditation and 24-hour seva. You can convert your life to that. It's all game of awareness inside. What awareness you hold at all times. So that is why you can make everything that you are doing into meditation by remembering master. This is I'm doing for master. This I'm doing for master. Now you have to do those things by obligation of karma. It's a karmic obligation you are fulfilling, at the same time converting it into meditation and seva. So that's the best way one can do. Whole life changes. All attitude changes. When you bring master into everything, your love for things increases, attachment decreases. Otherwise, the way we live, attachment decreases all the time. By desire and more desire, we increase attachments. But if we say it's for master, attachment decreases. Love for doing that increases because you love to do it for your master. You may not love to do it for yourself, not to do love for somebody else, but you can do it for your master.